You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on February 10th, 2022. This week we're going to be talking about the hyper-personalization of social media. Social media, by the way that the apps and the algorithms are designed, provide a different experience for each user. No two people on social media, even if they are using the same app, will be looking at the same feed. Why does this matter? The reason why it matters is because it impacts our view of the world around us and also our ability to interact with others. So we're going to talk about that in our episode today. For links for this episode, check out the show notes at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/02-10-22. Now for our discussion this week. The hyper-personalization of our internet experience. Earlier this week, I finished reading a new book called Terms of Service, The Real Cost of Social Media by Chris Martin. It was a very good book and one I would recommend for you to check out. I plan to write a book review on it soon, but today I just wanted to discuss one of the points from the book, something I had never considered before. I've noticed the consequence of this, but didn't realize that what we're talking about here was at the root of it. The following excerpt is from the book in the chapter called How Does the Social Internet Affect Our Lives? Under a section titled Personalization Destroys Empathy, the author said this: "The second major factor that drives polarization on the social internet is that the personalization of our primary social media platforms makes it difficult for us to empathize and see why others believe what they do. Virtually every major part of the internet wants to customize your experience to be most suitable for you. Part of the reason websites want to personalize your experience is so they can better understand you and more effectively target ads to you. The other reason websites want to personalize your experience is because the more personally tailored your experience feels, the more likely you are to return to that website. The way this plays out is most commonly seen in algorithms delivering you content with which you agree. The obvious problem with this is that such feedback loops or filter bubbles of content that reinforce what we believe about everything can lead us to believe that no other views exist. That's not good. These filter bubbles, or echo chambers as they are often called, do not lead to conflict as much as once believed." And he goes into that more later in the book. But then he goes on and says, "but they still do make it hard to empathize with other people. The hyper-personalization of our internet experience hinders our ability to see why other people believe what they believe. On the face of it, filter bubbles and hyper-personalization seem problematic because they may entrench us in our own beliefs. But beyond that, the broader problem is that it is impossible to know what the world looks like for someone who disagrees with us." Jaron Lanier explains this well in 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. Polarization and filter bubbles have existed long before the internet. Cable news encourages such filter bubbles, but at least with cable news, you can flip over to a cable news channel that pushes an ideology in opposition to yours to see what those people are hearing. On social media, you cannot do this. If you are a hardcore conservative and your Facebook feed is full of hardcore conservative articles and opinions, you can't flip over to hardcore liberal Facebook to see what they're saying. If you often feel like you are living in a different world from the people with whom you disagree, it's because you are. Living in our own little ideological worlds is not a new problem, but it is amplified by social media because we have no simple opportunity to peek into the little worlds of people who hold opposing views. That's a pretty lengthy excerpt there, but I wanted to read all of that. Have you ever noticed where you are talking with someone about some topic. Maybe it's political, maybe it's a religious topic, talking about something historical nature, whatever it might be. You're talking with someone about something on some topic, and it's obvious that the two of you have two very different opinions, but you have no idea how they arrived at their opinion. It's almost as if they are using a completely different set of facts as you are. The news stories, reports, statistics, anecdotes, and all of that almost seem to be from another world. This is not necessarily a new problem, but it is one that seems to be more and more common. And as the author of the book argued, and I think he is probably right, social media, or the social internet as he calls it, is the main driver of this. Well, what does this mean for us as Christians? I think the biggest impact of this is probably seen in political issues, because that's where you see a lot of polarization and arguments and everything online. But even so, there are some points that I think we need to consider with this being the reality in which we live. Three points I want us to think about here today. First, when speaking with others, we should not be too quick to assume that we have common ground. We often make the point that when we are trying to reach others with the gospel or point them to the truth or something like that, we need to start where they are. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was teaching in the synagogue in Thessalonica, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that Jesus was the Christ, as it says in verses 2 and 3. But later in the chapter, when he was speaking with a group of Greek philosophers in Athens, he used the altars around the city and cited some of their poets to teach them about God. You can read that in Acts 17, 22 through 31. Both messages had the goal of leading people to Christ. But Paul started in different places because the people he was speaking with in those different settings had different understandings. The message didn't change, but the approach was different. But what they had in common, that was where he started, on that common ground. He found a point of agreement. For the Jews, that was the truth of the Old Testament scriptures. For the Greek philosophers, it was a recognition of this deity, even though he was an unknown god to them. They at least recognized that this god is out there. When we talk to people, we need to start where we agree. And this is still true, but it may take some more effort to find that common ground today, because the information we are being fed online is different for each one of us. So this means we may need to work harder than before to build a bridge in order to try to connect with someone and reach them and teach them to help lead them to the truth. Second, we need to be careful not to believe everything we read online. Paul told the brethren in Thessalonica, "Examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. In that context, he was warning them to be careful not to believe everything they heard from some religious teacher. Otherwise, they may end up despising prophetic utterances, as he says in verse 20. But the principle applies to everything we might hear, read, or even watch. If someone who disagrees with us is in their own echo chamber online and only sees things that support what they already believe, as the author pointed out in that excerpt that we read, we need to understand that the same thing can be true for us. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that we read or watch online that we happen to agree with, it doesn't necessarily mean that's wrong. But it does mean that we need to take everything with a grain of salt. When we see something online, see something on social media, we need to take it with a grain of salt. Of course, that applies to traditional media too, or political leaders, or religious leaders, or anything like that. It applies to all of them too. But we need to not be quick to just believe everything. Jesus said we are to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves in Matthew 10:16. The psalmist wrote, "The sum of your word is truth," Psalm 119:160. Only the word of God is absolute truth. Not some Facebook page we follow, not some cable news network, not some government leader or government agency. We need to be quick to accept God's word and cautious when it comes to everything else, especially with conditions as they are today. It's very easy for partial information or misinformation to be disseminated online, and we're all getting fed different information based on our preferences. So we need to be careful. Be careful not to believe everything we read online. Then the third point, we need to focus more on converting people to Christ than to our political opinions. As I said before, this hyper-personalization of the social internet, which makes it seem like people are approaching the same issue from two different planets, is most clearly seen in matters of political opinion. And undoubtedly, each one of us has political opinions. There's nothing wrong with having political opinions. Of course, we should be careful that they are in harmony with the life and worldview of a disciple of Christ. But it is more important that we are trying to persuade people to follow Christ than to persuade them to vote, or not to vote at all, the way that we do. Paul told the Corinthians that I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. His primary purpose was to convert people to the truth. So he was not going to distract from that message of Christ and His gospel. We can have opinions on political issues. We can even discuss these with people. However, knowing how polarizing a lot of these issues are, and how the hyper-personalization of social media seems to widen the gap between people of different opinions, we need to be careful not to waste too much time on contentious discussions about matters that only pertain to this life, and risk closing any door that we might have with someone to share the truth of God's word with them. Because everyone is coming at these political issues as if they were from different worlds. It may not be possible to convince them of your political opinion, because they may never be convinced that your facts and your sources are valid, just as you would question theirs because you don't understand how they got to their opinion. So rather than arguing endlessly about these things, we need to look for opportunities to help direct them to the truth that is found in the Word of God. So those are just some thoughts that I had from one of the points in that book, The Terms of Service by Chris Barton, that I thought was worth considering here. As I said, I will probably write more of a review on the book soon. Whenever I do, it will be posted on the Plain Bible Teaching website. But in the meantime, I would recommend checking out that book. The link will be in the show notes if you want to read more about that. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the book where we got the basis for our discussion here today, visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/02-1022. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this or would benefit from this discussion, please share this with them. And if you see a news story or some other topic or article or link that you think might make for a good discussion, please email that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.